Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We decree today we are crossing over into our new season of breakthrough here at Kings. We receive a new mantle for a new day. We are making way for the King of Glory to come here in Wasilla and throughout this state. Leviathan is now under our feet. Resistance is broken and a fresh anointing is here. We decree we are yoke breakers and curse destroyers because the Holy Ghost lives in us. Souls will be saved, bodies will be healed, families will be reconciled, prodigals will come home. This building will be paid off in record time because of all the financial miracles of the people. We receive our double portion mantle from this point forward. Jesus be glorified in all we do and say, in your name, we decree it all. Shout to God with a big amen. Amen and amen. Wonderful. So the text is 2 Kings 5. We'll stand in just a moment. We've been in a series decreeing this cloak of glory, really talking about this mantle, a fresh mantle for a new season. And it's been encouraging messages and encouraging messages in a series that are moving through that has relieved many people of anxiety and fear and empowered many to walk in a new dimension of power. How many of you want to walk in a new dimension of God's power? A new dimension of intimacy with the Lord. A new dimension of righteousness. Come on, how many of you want to be more like Jesus? Yeah, don't forget that. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 5, we will read 27 verses from the New International Version. Stand up on your feet if you're able. Second Kings 5, no notes for you. I have a few. Now Naaman was a commander of the army, the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, quote, if only my master had seen the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy, end quote. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took from the king of Israel read, with this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. So as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. And when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elijah's house. But Elisha sent a messenger to him and said, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you'll be clean. But Naaman went away angry. And he said, I thought that he would have surely come out and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and waved his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers in Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. And Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God, and he stood before him, and he said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept the gift from your servant." And the prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." Even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord." So he becomes a believer. He gets converted. Verse 18. "But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing when my master enters the temple." All right, go down to verse 19. "Go in peace," Elijah said. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said to himself, "My master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from his chariot to meet him. "Is everything all right?" he asked. "Everything is all right," Gehazi answered. "My master sent me to say, 2 men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them 1 talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing." "By all means, take 2 talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them. And then he tied up the 2 talents of silver and the 2 bags with the 2 sets of clothing, and he gave them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants, put them away in his house, and he sent the men away, and they left. Verse 25, just a couple more verses. When he went in and stood before his master, Elijah asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "Your servant didn't go anywhere." "What a liar," Gehazi answered. But Elijah said to him, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or accept clothes or olive groves or vineyards or flocks or herds or male or female servants? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever." And Gehazi went out from Elijah's presence, and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Father, thank you for your word. A lamp unto our feet, truly a lamp unto our path. I ask that you would give us living understanding tonight, that we would never be the same as a result of this text, that we would learn, that we would glean, we'd be impacted, we'd receive impartation that would forever change us. Would you lay hands on your own heart and ask God to speak to you? Speak to me, God. Speak to us, your people. We thank you. And may we, when we leave tonight, may we all say that God has spoken and we've been changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Oh, it's going to be good." And you may be seated. I've entitled tonight's message, "Elevated or Eliminated." Elevated or Eliminated. Very familiar passage. And the word of the Lord for 2023 from Dr. Morocco, who seeks God for a word every year in a message he preaches called the State of the Church Address, has said very plainly that it's time for elevation. Everyone, I want you to say that. It's time for elevation. And what we are seeing, not just here, certainly there's been a tremendous elevation of Kings Alaska and all connected to it. Simply by the grace of God. We've moved into our new facility. We're very grateful. Every weekend we seem to break our current record of attendance and reaching people. And it's just a joy to be serving God with you all and to be elevated right now. God is elevating his church. COVID and the forces of darkness attempted to shut the church down. and to get people to stay in their garages and in their basements and to not meet anymore, which we refused all of that and we ever will. You can't shut down that which is eternal. And although we were respectful, we got to the place where we realized God's bigger than any disease. We knew that already, but we're trying to honor. We realize certainly and realize tonight that we are an essential business. Come on, somebody say we're essential. You remember all that? Kind of crazy. I pray there's a whole bunch of arrests and people just go through getting dealt with because it's just so corrupt what's taking place even in these past 2 days. There's so much corruption. It's time for elevation. Come on, somebody say it's time for elevation. We were praying this morning in morning prayer, which is what we do in morning prayer, we pray. And I don't know, I've been to some men prayer breakfast where they didn't pray. Like you gather and they eat food and talk and bless the food and that's it. That's not what we do when we gather for a prayer meeting. We actually pray. The whole thing here, everything you see that's happened around here has been birthed by prayer. And so we're praying this morning. I got so troubled over the transgender demonic assignment to defile a generation and mutilate them while they're young and they don't even know what they're doing. I don't know how you cannot give a driver's license to somebody who doesn't, you know, they can't drive when they're little babies. They can't drive when they're in elementary school and middle school. They don't have judgment, nor do they have the wherewithal, no matter how stupid their parents are, nor do they have the wherewithal to pick their sex, because you can't pick your sex. Because you're either male or female, and there's just absolute defilement that's taking place. What is the solution? The church of the living God being elevated and begin to declare the truth and model it and decree it and demonstrate it. The church of the living God is the answer to the woes of America. It's time for elevation. And let me just tell you that you are the church. Individuals, corporately, together, we're God's people. And if you stay silent in this time, worse things will come upon us. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I realize, you know, you can be eliminated. I'm going to come on down. I remember when I was a kid, I swam competitively. Thank you. I swam competitively and I went to the Junior Olympics. You ever heard of the Junior Olympics? And I did freestyle and breaststroke. And they told me I was fast for my age and all that, and if I stayed with it for the next 100 years, I could be an Olympic swimmer. It takes incredible amount of commitment to be an Olympic athlete. And so that obviously didn't happen. But I won some medals. But I'll never forget doing the breaststroke. I was ahead by a couple lengths. I got to the end. And I hit the end of the pool with two hands like this and got disqualified. I've shared this story before. And I remember like, bam! And I remember I did instantly knew I'd done wrong. I come up and the guy says, oh, son. And then the other kid came in and he got first and I got disqualified. I don't know if you've ever been disqualified. You can be disqualified. God wants to elevate you. But there will be many people that are eliminated. There's many people that are disqualified. Naaman got disqualified. Raise your hand if you want to be elevated and not disqualified. You want to finish your race. Amen. Let me read this to you in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, runners all run, only one gets the prize? Run in such a way. Everybody say, run in such a way. He's giving an illustration. He's telling you, live your life. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Amen. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. Listen, don't be fooled. You're in strict training right now. And that's why there's hundreds of people on a Wednesday night be like, man, I just want the word of the Lord. I need healing. I want to receive from God, but I want to worship him with my brothers and sisters. You will receive something tonight that will empower you to be elevated and not eliminated. It's training. Come on, the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip, it's a word for train, to train. So come on, somebody say, I'm in training. I'm in training. Me too. They get a crown. They compete to get a crown that will not last, right there, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, following. But we do it to get a crown that'll last forever. Wow. Therefore, I do not run like someone who's running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be eliminated for the prize or disqualified for the prize. So it's kind of crazy that you can be disqualified. I want to plan to not be disqualified. How many, come on, anybody else? You're gonna plan, I'm gonna run my race. Come on, somebody say, I'm gonna run my race. The truth is, in life, your actions can undermine God's best for you. And the way that you live will either qualify you or disqualify you. You say, that's kind of intense. Well, that's true. And as human beings, God wants to pour his Spirit through us. He wants us to receive his Son as our Lord and Savior. That's the first thing. And then he redeems you from the curse. He breaks you, sets you free, fills you full of his Spirit. If getting saved was the main goal, you would drop dead. You've heard me say it before. If you were just supposed to be born again, you would croak the second you prayed. You'd be like, in Jesus' name, you want me to go straight to heaven. There wouldn't be nobody here. No, we're... God saves us, and then he uses us to bring his will, to bring his plan on earth as it is in heaven. Say that. On earth as it... Well, how is it on earth as it is in heaven? God looks for an evangelist. He looks for somebody to flow through with power. He looks for somebody to stand up. He looks for somebody to vote. He looks for somebody to decree, to proclaim, to give, to fast, to pray, to share the gospel. The good news of Jesus can only be shared by human beings. You know, we're in a series of Genesis, which we'll get back to after Resurrection Sunday. I honestly can't wait. I think we're in chapter 4. We're in chapter 4 in this series. But we looked at temptation, and we looked at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's a choice. Man is given a choice. You're not a robot. Nobody made you come right now. And the 11-year-old raises his hand. I may become, that's true. I'm glad you came. You should come. You don't want to have a prison ministry later on. Amen. You know, amen. Learn God's word, grow in the things of God. But you came, you made a choice to come. We all choose. We can choose God's will, or you can choose to reject it. You can choose to stay bound. You can choose to stay addicted, or you can choose to be elevated. You can choose to be disqualified. You say, I've done things that I really feel like I didn't have a choice. There can be deception that comes, and may God set us free from all deception. Can you say amen? So we're not robots. And it's your choice to whether undermine what God wants to do or release the kingdom of God. It is your choice. You can be elevated or eliminated, and it is your choice to choose to either undermine the will of God or fulfill the will of God. This mantle series, this cloak series, is this powerful picture of God passing his calling and purpose and plan onto the next generation. And so here's Elijah, and he's going to pass it on to Gehazi. So God desires to use us, but our actions can prevent God from doing so. Let me say that again. God desires to use you. God desires to use me. God desires to use us, but your actions can hinder that, can stop that. So we can't yield to the works of our fallen human nature, because if we do, we're going to end up in trouble. And that's what happens to Gehazi. His name is mentioned 14 times in 2 Kings 4 and 5. He's a servant of the prophet of God, the same language that was used over Elisha and Elijah. Elijah had a servant. His name was Elisha. He was known as the hand washer of Elijah. He's a servant of the prophet. So now Elijah's gone up with a whirlwind. Elijah's now flowing in the double-double. The double portion mantle is upon him. And he has a servant. He has a hand washer. And his name is Gehazi. And Gehazi's going to be elevated if he does it right, but you see this text. He's not elevated. He's eliminated. Reading the text, you see this Naaman comes approximately $3.5 million. That was actually if you calculate how much money he brings, that was actually a number of years ago that figure's figured out. So now, come on, this is like not the 1940s. You know, our $28 million building would not have been worth $28 million 10 years ago. It would have been probably half. And we planned for half. You're not laughing as nearly as hard as I am. We planned for half of that. And here we are at $28 million and with still more work to do. Continual challenges. But about $3.5 million, I read that, it was about 10 years ago. So that's a lot higher what it was worth now today. And Elijah refuses his gift. Now, Naaman gets healed. There's many messages in here. Many messages. Naaman receives instruction from the prophet. The prophet just totally messes with his pride. Naaman comes. Hi, yes, the prophet here? Yeah, he's here. What do you want? Oh, yeah, I need healing. Okay, yeah. What? Hold on a second. Yeah, just go and... Just go. Here is, you got to understand that Naaman is this major significant man and was used as a tool of judgment on God's people. They were in disobedience, and Aram was used to bring judgment, and he was one of the commanders. And the slave girl tells her master, oh, I would that he would go to Israel, and because there's a prophet there and he can be healed. In other words, there's love in that house and there's kindness in that house, and we don't even know who that girl is. And he goes with the letter, and the king thinks he's picking a fight. The king of Israel thinks that the king of Aram is picking a fight. He ends up at the prophet's house, and the prophet just completely offends him. And Naaman says in the text, I thought he was going to come over and say, yay, be clean. Thought he's going to hit you with your coat. Oh, no. Thought he was going to hit me. No, he just sends somebody else with a message. Just tell him to go dip seven times. He sends somebody else with the word, go dip seven times. And we affectionately in Alaska call him the Big Dipper. It's a Pastor Gil joke. And he argues, and he has this, before he dips seven times, his servant tells him, wouldn't you have done it if it was something, aren't you glad for people that'll tell you that to sit down and be quiet? What are you doing, bro? Wouldn't you have done it? He says, just obey. You know, it's amazing, if you obey, you'll get biblical results. It's the obeying part. Dr. Yonggi Cho, going on to be with the Lord, built the largest church in the world. Up to that point when he went on to be with the Lord, I think the largest church now is in Nigeria, but he had a very simple phrase, we pray and we obey. How did you reach millions of people? How did you do that? We pray and we obey. That's pretty simple. So he does obey, and he does get cleansed, he does get healed, and he offers this offering. And now that's a biblical thing, to bring an offering. And you'll see it other times that Elisha received offerings from people, did different things, but not this time. You know, not every offering, not every gift is from the Lord. And the Lord will have you sometimes say no to things. Not every promotion's from God. Years ago, I think it was Chris Vallotton shares this story in a book. They had a youth pastor there in, I don't know, one of the churches, I don't think it was Bethel, it was the one before that. And he shares about this youth pastor. And youth pastor says, yeah, I'm thinking about taking another job, pastoring down the street. I feel like the Lord's leading me that way. He says, well, how come? He says, well, they're paying me more money. He says, oh, are you a prostitute? I didn't say that. That was Chris Vallotton. So if you want to get offended, you can email him. His phone number is 808. No, I'm kidding. But is money the criteria for obey? Is that what you would earmark the will of God? Money? Is that what it would be? Because it isn't. And so he rejects the gift, but Naaman goes after the challah. Naaman goes after the greenbacks. Naaman goes after the money and gets eliminated. You see, God wants to elevate you. God wants to elevate me. God wants to elevate us. He's going to do that. But your actions can disqualify you. I don't want to be disqualified. I'm qualified by the blood of Jesus. Can somebody else say amen? I'm washed, I'm cleansed, I'm born again. That's what qualifies you. But then you live that out in righteous action. Your actions, Christian, means Christ-like, or little Christ, Christian, means you should act like Jesus. So if you don't act like Jesus, you should probably change your name. He said, well, I try to. That's good. You should continue to try, continue to pray, continue to believe God, and confront things. I mean, I've been confronted this week by some of my sour attitudes at times. Don't look at me like that. You guys have other issues. Raise your hand. Let's have a praise break. Jesus, help us right now. We want to be more like you. Look in your text, look in your Bibles, on your device, whatever you have. I want to show you this. It's fascinating. He goes after the money, but he shows that there's some wounding here. And I want to tell you, if you don't get healed of your wounding, you don't get healed of your offense, it will come back and it will shank you. It will undermine you and potentially cause you to be eliminated. Look at verse 20, 19b and then 20. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy. It was too easy. So immediately, he's too easy on this Naaman. So what is that? What does that show? I mean, think about that. I mean, he's under the employ of the prophet, the man of God. And he says, my master was too easy. In other words, he doesn't really know. He is in absolute rebellion. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, so you gotta watch that. Oh, I've been tested many times, and I'm sure more tests will come, because every one of us is gonna be tested. All of us will be tested. I had a series of dreams two nights ago, and in one of those dreams, I saw people being elevated and people being released with tremendous power and authority. And then I saw decisions coming down from those that were over them. And the decisions that were being released to those that were over them, the people receiving them, some of them didn't like the decisions. And in that said something like this, they don't really know what they're doing. His master's too easy on him. And in their mind, they made a decision to say, no, I'm not doing that. And I saw them get eliminated. And I was amongst the group as the decree came down. And I received one that I didn't like. I didn't like it. I'm not morally wrong. I just didn't like it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about right here? So, and I watched my heart wrestle with it for a moment. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you must always stay submitted to authority. This is a dream I had. I don't feel like I have a problem. But how many of you know when the Lord gives you a dream and he talks to you, maybe he's asking you to check yourself. Or maybe something's coming. We're all under authority. We're all under the authority of God, and then we're all submitted under structural authority. Let me say this. If you don't learn structural authority, you will never learn real spiritual authority. You won't learn. And many times, I had a problem with authority. I did. It's because I had abuse of authority. I had authority I didn't trust. I had authority that let me down. I had authority that abused me. I've been through some things. My ultimate authority when I was a kid was my father and mother. They went through stuff. They got divorced. Well, that wasn't good. That doesn't work. Marriage doesn't work. Nice. Thanks, guys, for ripping the family in half. Thanks for ripping my heart out. No, I'm healed, but I'm just saying, as a kid. So I just didn't trust authority. And I had teachers that were abusive and people that were abusive and I had people that I didn't trust and people said they were going to do something and they didn't. I've got a whole laundry list of people that had done things that caused a wounding in me, that caused me to not like authority and be living in rebellion. And I had to get healed of all that. So here I am having a dream and I get this decision that I don't care for. And immediately I see my heart just go press against it for a second. And the Lord speaks to me and says, you need to always submit to. I said, yes, Lord. I said, yes, Lord. And then I said that back. I will always submit to authority, God. He said, good, son. That's my dream. See, some of you don't know anything I'm talking about. You've rebelled, you've kicked against it. You'll trust authority that you want to, and you won't yield, when, especially when the chips are down or it gets hard, you receive a decision you don't like. I love being a part of our church because it's time-tested, and Dr. Morocco, who is my pastor, our senior global pastor, I trust implicitly with my life. And it's a beautiful thing to be healed of that, because if you don't get healed of that, then authority is ordered by God. Now, there is abuse of authority. There is. And I think that's happening in America. But if you think this is the worst country in the world, just move. But if we don't stand up and learn to fight and walk in elevated power and anointing and a fresh mantle and a cloak of glory, we don't stand up now, we're gonna see this become a third world country. God help us. The things that are happening right now happen in dictatorships. This master was too easy. So immediately you see, oh, junior boy has a problem. And he says, this Aramean, it's a Syrian. I'm gonna use a racial slur, but I'm gonna use it towards my own race because it certainly would go better. That cracker doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. Oh, I can call myself a cracker. That's what he says. He's like, man, my master's too easy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's a racial slur against this Naaman. He's a racist. He's got a problem. And I'm going to tell you what, you might have a problem. I might have a problem too. There were wicked people. But maybe killed his family, maybe killed his sister, maybe. We don't know what he did. These raiding parties, maybe the girl that was in the house was his sister. We don't know. But you can tell he's got a problem with authority, and he's got a problem with that race. He feels like they should just be, he should have killed him for sure. And he definitely should have taken the money. Shouldn't have taken his wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous. I mean, you can use some scripture too. And so he lies. He liars go to hell. He lies. Look at verse 22. He runs after him. Is everything all right? Yeah. Gehazi answered, my master sent me to say, yeah, he's lying. He's a liar. He's lying. Because he's hooked by greed. My master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver or two sets of clothing. The man of God who's going to get elevated is now getting eliminated. The man of God who's going to be the next guy, the next prophet, the next man of God, bringing the word of the Lord with not seven miracles. Elisha had 14, so maybe he's going to have the 28, but he's getting eliminated right now because of some measly cash and some garments. How dumb can you be and breathe? It's his offense. It's his greed. Verse 25, when he went in and stood before his master, Elijah said, where have you been, bro? Gives him an opportunity to repent. Really, it's beautiful. Adam, where are you? You think God didn't know where Adam was? Adam! Adam, where are you? Did God know where Adam was? God knows everything. He's everywhere. Of course he knows. It's a picture of him giving an opportunity to repent, but he doesn't. He doesn't repent. I'm hiding. Elijah gives him an opportunity to repent and tell the truth, but instead he lies. Verse 26, he says, is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves or vineyards? So he violated the express will of God. And you all know the what happens. We read it. The leprosy, verse 27, name is leprosy, cling to you. He's cursed. He's cursed. God desires to use us, but our actions can prevent God from doing so. Well, what are your actions lining up with what God's called you to do? Are they or aren't they? It's good to take a look. Don't yield to your fallen human nature. I was so blessed by the intensive today here, Dr. Morocco teaching on the big screen. And I walked in right at the exact point here in my sermon, which I had it all prepared, about yielding to your fallen human nature. If you yield to your fallen human nature, you open a door. And you open a door for that thing to get bigger and broader and wider. Don't turn to Galatians, would you? Turn to the book of Galatians. If you yield to your fallen human nature, it's going to be ugly. Galatians 5. We're all crackpots. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, "You're a crackpot." Go ahead. Yeah, we all have a fallen human nature. You got to keep the thing dead. Reckon yourself dead. You have to declare it, decree it. Galatians 5, this is going to hurt, verse 16. So I say, walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The only way to not gratify your sin nature is to live in the Spirit. Listen, that's why you're here. I commend you for coming on a Wednesday. You came to hear the word, to get filled, to worship. You're feeding your spirit man. When you pray in tongues, you're feeding your spirit man. When you yield to your flesh, you're feeding your flesh. You need to reckon yourself dead. Don't feed your flesh. Don't empower your flesh. We have to be transformed. Goes on to say in verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. So here they are. These are the acts of the flesh. See, use it as a checklist and see how you're doing. You ready? Sexual immorality. How you doing? Impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred. Oh, snap, we wiped out half the church right there. Discord, jealousies, fits of rage. There goes another quarter, 25% more. Selfish ambition, dope. Dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, everything I just read is the culture of the United States of America. That is the culture we're in. That is what they do. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfless ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That is everything that comes through the TV. It is like a cesspool being pumped through your phone, right into your eye gate, right into your ear gate. It is a barrage of media pushing the fallen human nature, pushing your flesh, pushing you, so that you just go that way and get eliminated. You have to fight all of that. You got to deal with your fallen human nature, or you're going to end up in hell. Come on, smile at me. Deal with your fallen human nature or end up in hell. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, what in hell do you want?
Come on. Nothing.
There ain't nothing in hell that you want. Oh, are you offended? You're offended at me saying, what in hell do you want? Oh, but like you're addicted to porn and you're mad at me for saying that, oh, what in hell do you want? You play with it and dance with it every other day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I worship you, hallelujah, yeah. If you haven't been offended, well, I'm gonna get there. You don't want anything in hell. And the world is driving people to their fallen human nature. So you gotta truncate that thing. You gotta put a tourniquet on it and kill it, cut it off. Cut all ties with hell. You've maybe heard me say that. I want you to say it. Cut all ties with hell. I don't hang out with greedy people. I don't associate with greedy people. I don't partner with greedy people. I don't partner with anybody that's... And you know what I mean by... I minister to everybody. But my close friends are not greedy. They're not sexually immoral. And you can tell, listen, you can tell by the jokes they tell. If there's innuendos coming out of their mouth, then you have to question. Out of your mouth shows the heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what somebody's saying, that's what's in there. And I have to say, this will happen over and over. Hey, pastor, can I tell you a joke? I said, only if it's clean. I don't want to hear it. Amen. I just don't. I worked hard and contended for every bit of renewed mind I have. And I'm still fighting and contending for more. Can you say amen? I don't want new images and new thoughts and new words and defiled stuff. You're talking to the wrong guy. But some of you allow that cesspool to come in all the time. You guys are rough tonight. God sent his son in the likeness of man to die on a cross, and he will change you. He will change you from the inside out. And we have a tendency to rationalize our sin. This is also verse 20. Oh, he's too easy on Naaman. The Naaman the cracker. He's way too easy on that cracker. He didn't. So I'm going to take care of it. He rationalizes. Have you anybody else been there besides me? Like, yeah, I didn't get what I deserve, really. So let me just. It's all right. Is it? It was a test, and you're going to be tested. Come on, raise your hand to heaven and say, oh, Lord, help me when the test comes. Yeah, test. God will give you a moment to repent. But non-repentance brings elimination. Non-repentance brings death. And sin is going to destroy your life. You gotta know that. Sin is going to destroy your life. Say that. Sin will destroy your life. And let me just say this also. If you are willfully disobeying God, now listen, you might have come in and you'd be like, sin, what are you talking about? Stick around. Just stick around. Preach Jesus to you, model it to you. You can have a new life. You can be forgiven. You've come in this place and you're broken and you're stealing and you're filled with debauchery and immorality and perverse thoughts and you're addicted to porn. You have absolutely come to the right church. Amen. All porn addicted people can come here. Amen. You can't be in children's ministry, but you can come in here. And if you're addicted, you can come in here. If you're broken, you can come in here. Yeah, well, you say, well, I don't want to come to that church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You tell me where hypocrites should go. I frequent the gym as much as I possibly can, which is not much these days. I heard this preacher say it this way. I've shared it before. Saying that I'm not going to church because there's hypocrites is like saying this. It's like saying, going to the gym, you'd be like, I can't believe there's fat, out of shape people here. I cannot believe. Look at that. My God. Easy 50 pounds overweight. Man, what are they thinking? Look at that person working out. That's exactly what it's like. And somebody said, well, I'm not going to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Everybody's not a hypocrite. Just like when you go to the gym, you have people that are out of shape and overweight and figuring it out. And then you have other people that are just like in phenomenal shape. You have Olympians. You have people that are tremendously disciplined in their food and their exercise. And it might be an idol for them. But still, the point is, there are real Christians. This man right here is a real Christian. I know, I see lots of them. So Christian man, oh, in shape, ripped one. You're so ripped, you need tape. You'll get that on the way home. So that you don't throw it all out and say, well, I'm not going to church because there's hypocrites. There's hypocrites here. Listen, lock your car. You come here, lock your car. We have security and they're everywhere and they're armed. Amen. As well as more than half of you. And I won't ask you to raise your hand. We will never have a problem. Come on, somebody say amen. It's amazing how there has been shooters in Alaska, but you really got to be deranged. But there are people. There was a shooter in a church many years ago in Anchorage. I will not come here in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? You know, I teach all of my leaders and all of our people. I'll just empower you right now. You see somebody coming in that looks like they should be talked to. For God's sake, go up to them. Love them enough and their long trench coat. We have rules. You can't come in here with a big bag. You got a long trench coat, you're going to be frisked. We'll take you in a back room, cavity check, we'll fix everything. Amen. That might not be 100% true. Okay, thanks. Let's have a praise break. I don't know where that came from. Amen. Where are we, Pastor Gil? I need keys or something. Come on, somebody say, don't be eliminated. And there are people that are real, there are real believers here. And I'll just tell you, I'm one. I'm one of them. I repent a lot. And it's not, I don't have crazy things that I'm trying to overcome now. But I want to be more like Jesus. And I'm confronted. Listen, if you haven't been confronted by the Lord lately, then you're not listening. And if your Heavenly Father hasn't corrected you, you might be illegitimate. Anybody get corrected today? I didn't like my dream. I'm like, I am submitted, Lord. He's like, yeah, I know. Just make sure. He's like, does that mean you're going to get something I don't like? Crickets. I don't hear anything. Just check yourself before you wreck yourself. Get elevated, not eliminated. It is God's desire to have his power demonstrated through every single generation, but you have to take it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Keys, please. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. It's what the Father has promised. There's someone greater than Elisha. His name is Jesus. And he's the one that's to be glorified, not you, not me, him. And he pours out upon people who will receive and obey and trust and lean not on their own understanding. Come on, your fig leaf is not going to cover your nakedness, Adam. The only thing that can cover your shame, the only thing that can cover your nakedness, the only thing that can cover your sin is the blood of Jesus. I want to do my blood song again. Can you jump on the keys? Yeah. So I just go this way. It's shorter. Thanks. You're awesome. Thank you, Daniel. And do you have any other blood singers that should come up? I love songs about the blood. And I came Sunday morning, especially at the 9 o'clock. I had numerous things spinning around and my fallen human nature trying to do stuff. I kept wrecking myself. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. Listen, Sunday morning, we used to have a rule in my house. No talking on Sunday morning. Because we would get in a fight. Pastor Karen and I would get in a fight all the time. There'd always be something. So we made a rule. Sunday morning, no talking until we get to church. That's when we were pastors when we made that rule. It's a number of years ago now. It's many years ago. Isn't that right, Pastor Karen? Amen. You got to make rules. No, I'm too tired to go to church. You're too tired not to go. You need to be trained. You need to put your fallen human nature down. You need to be empowered in the Spirit. You need to get prayer. You need to get worship Sunday morning, Sunday night. We'll never back off of our services. We're just going to add more. So the 8 o'clock didn't work. We moved to 9. But as we grow, we'll add a 7 and a 1. Amen. There's not enough room here. There's not enough room. You all know that, right? Yeah, it's bigger. We're already filling it within the first 6 weeks. It's full. So I began to worship and sing the song. And
the blood,
if you know it, sing.
Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
The Lord is looking for people who will say, you know, not my intelligence. I want to be born again. I want to be free from that. I want the power of God to flow through my life. I don't want to be eliminated. I want to be elevated. God's elevating his church, but I'm telling you, there's people that will be left out. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's desire. God's desire is that every single person would move into a dimension of authority, forgiven and washed and cleansed. I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. No longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Jesus lives on the inside of me. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from shame. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. His blood has cleansed me. And yet I see this power at work, says Paul. The very thing I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I don't do, you know, sin is right there with me. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Body of death is referring to a Roman way of execution. That if you had murdered somebody, they would take that body and they would tie it on your back and tie those arms around your neck and fix that body, that dead body, on you. And when you walked around, you would drag this dead corpse with you as it rotted. And in time, that rot and that stinking flesh would destroy you and eat you. And that's what he says. Who will deliver me from this thing? Talking about his fallen human nature. And he says, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the blood that sets you free from that which will disqualify you. It's the blood, nothing but the blood. Come on, I want to sing this again. If you need to be set free from something tonight, or you realize as I was preaching, man, I got some racism, or I got some greed, or I got some stuff. I need to put my flesh down. I just need a touch from God. Then I'm going to open up the altar. You come on your own as minister leads us.
Then Jesus shed for me.
Blood.
Oh, the blood that gives me strength.
tonight and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you have, but you know that you've drifted in your commitment and your walk with God, and you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, or you want to recommit. First time, never received Jesus. You've never repented of your sin. You're going to do it tonight. Number two, you want to recommit your life because you know that you're not walking with God like you should. And you're convicted right now, which is nothing a man can do. Only God can do that. Your heart's beating within your chest and you know flat out that you're not 100% right with God. And you're like, I'm done with that. I'm going to get right with God. All across this place, those online, when we sing again, step out from where you are and come meet me right here. Come on, come. Come on, come. There's room for you. Mountain. And it flows. Come on, come to Jesus. Come on, come. You need to get right with God. Come right now. Don't wait. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come. Church, you ought to go bananas right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come. From day. Pray this with me right out loud. If you came up front or you're still in the seats, that's okay. You're online perhaps. Pray with me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place, to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Wash me. Cleanse me. And make me new. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for hearing my prayer. Let me pray for you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill, that you'd touch, that you'd heal, that you would deliver each and every one here and those online. Holy Spirit, come. Endue us with power right now. Be filled to overflowing. Be refreshed. Be encouraged. Be loosed from every bondage, from every curse. In the name of Jesus, I break the hold of every lying assignment. I command demonic voices to cease. I speak to addiction and affliction and disease and infirmity. And I command you by the authority of the name of Jesus, be set free right now. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.